Do you struggle to explain your idea? Do you talk to people about your solution and find that you're met with a look of nothingness, no motion in the face, a glazed over look in the eyes, no smile, no frowning, just nothing? Do you feel like you don't connect to the people that you're talking to when you want money or you're trying to make a sale? Do you feel like people just don't get you and perhaps they're not clever enough to get you? If that's the case, then I'm afraid you are probably suffering from something called the curse of knowledge. What is the curse of knowledge? Why is it particularly a big thing for founders, and how do we get over it? That's all in today's podcast. I have a friend who has suffered from the curse of knowledge, but luckily she has got over it. She had the curse of knowledge because she was representing a software company in a new market. This person was a particularly successful saleswoman. She was excited about the prospect because the new market was worth a lot of money and it was virgin territory. So she flew over to this country for a first meeting to introduce the product to a company, and she came back with no interest, no sale, no second meeting, no follow-up, nothing. Went to her second meeting, third meeting, fourth meeting, fifth meeting, same story. She said perhaps it was the way that she was talking, a language issue. Perhaps it was cultural issues, perhaps she was dressed inappropriately. And I assured her it was none of those things. I revealed to her the curse of knowledge, and at that point she understood perfectly well what was the issue. The curse of knowledge is where we assume other individuals have the same knowledge and understanding as ourselves and get what we're talking about. It's where we use examples, metaphors, similes, we use words, we tell stories that our audience are not familiar with, so they fail to connect with what we're talking about. A great example of this is charades. Now, I play that game infrequently. I find it particularly painful to play charades. But when I was younger, I did it a few times and I was always bad. Why was I bad? Because I failed to take into account the audience's approach and knowledge and understanding and background. So for example, I would put my arm in one long straight form, like a stick, I would wave it around, and I would suggest to you that that's obviously a lightsaber, and I'm doing an impression of Star Wars. However, when I was doing that, the people in the audience were typically my parents and my grandparents, and they did not have a clue what I was going on about. I had failed to take into account the knowledge and understanding of the people in my audience. And this is a particular issue, not charades, but this is a particular issue. The curse of knowledge is a particular issue when it comes to founders. Because founders are obsessive about their solution. Sometimes they don't reveal it for years, and over that period of time, all they've had is an internal conversation with themselves around their solution. That means that when they're in the shower, they think about their solution. When they're in their bed, they dream about their solution. When they're with their friends, they talk about their solution. When they're with their partner, they ignore their partner because they're thinking about their solution. They are obsessed by their solution, which means all that time they are moving further and further and further away from their audience, and they're increasing their knowledge, but they're not allowing their audience to have that knowledge because they're keeping it all to themselves. So when they come to express their solution, they fail to communicate because there's such a distance between themselves and their audience. We must realign ourselves with our audience if we are to address the imbalance and communicate effectively. Founders also have a secondary issue, not just that they're obsessive, but sometimes they bring a product to market to solve problem X and it doesn't solve problem X. So their solution actually is in search of a problem. So they're thinking, perhaps this product fixes a problem over here, or in that market. So when you talk to a founder, sometimes They don't really know what problem they're solving because they haven't found a problem for their solution. So founders are a really good example of people with the curse of knowledge. It's the number one issue whenever I talk to founders of companies when they're starting pitching. It's the number one issue that they have. Now, this was all put together brilliantly some years ago. The curse of knowledge was explained in a beautiful quote by Mark Twain. I'm going to play that for you now. So our own knowledge, what Mark Twain is saying there, that our own knowledge can actually be our undoing. It's not that we need to know more, it's that what we know is what gets us into trouble. It's where our knowledge moves from being an asset to a liability. So you ask, what is the solution to the problem of the curse of knowledge? The solution is quite simple. We stop thinking about our product, we stop thinking about ourselves, and we move into the minds of our audience. And at this point, I have another quote for you, which is worth remembering. Here's the quote. What luck for rulers that men do not think. What luck for rulers that men do not think. It's a great quote. Unfortunately, it's by Adolf Hitler, so it's not the best source, but it has a lot of validity. When we're thinking about our audience, we must bear in mind that people, our audience, don't like to think. Which means that when we come to explain our idea, the first thing we need to think about is how do we simplify it? Because people can take on board only one point at a time, only one idea. When I launched my software product, it did five things, which meant that I would talk to people about those five things. Which meant that, yes, I had the curse of knowledge and people did not get what I was talking about. As soon as I simplified down just to one thing that my product did, one problem that my product solved, people got it. And then I could talk about other things that the product could do. But you need to make sure that you condense down your solution to be able to solve one problem. That's why, for example, I do podcasts on one topic at a time. I would love to do the whole constellation of ideas in one podcast, but not only would it be too long, I know that my audience would not be able to digest the information at all, and it would just be a complete waste of time. People that are superb at recognising this and apply this every single day are people like Richard Branson. He credits himself for being so successful because he's always said to himself, if I cannot explain my idea to a six-year-old, I will not be able to get funding, I will not be able to make any sales. So his test, Richard Branson's test, is can you explain your idea to a six-year-old? Because a six-year-old won't have the same knowledge and understanding of the world as you have. And the best way to do that is to walk people through the problem. So you start off, instead of talking about what the product can do, how much money it can save, how much time it can save, you talk about a personal experience that that person in the audience, or people in the audience, are most likely to have had. One of the masters of this was Steve Jobs, and in 2001 he launched his iPod. So let's now see how Steve Jobs was able to explain what the iPod did.
And that's where we want to be. That is where we want to be. And we are introducing a product today that takes us exactly there. And that product is called iPod. iMac, iBook, iPod. What is iPod? iPod is an MP3 music player, has CD quality music, and it plays all of the popular open formats of digital music, MP3, MP3 variable bitrate, WAV, and AIFF. But the biggest thing about iPod is it holds 1,000 songs. Now, this is a quantum leap because it's your, for most people, it's their entire music library. This is huge. How many times have you gone on the road with a CD player and said, oh God, the CD, I didn't bring the CD I wanted to listen to? To have your whole music library with you at all times is a quantum leap in listening to music. the coolest thing about iPod is that whole, your entire music library fits in your pocket. Okay? You can take your whole music library with you right in your pocket. Never before possible. So that's iPod.
Now, what Steve Jobs is famous for is obsessing over his presentations and his product launches. He knew that he needed to get a way of explaining his products that would resonate with his audience. So in that particular example, he talks about music in your pocket. There is not an individual on planet Earth that does not have a pocket. There is not an individual on planet Earth that has not heard music. It is a universal way of thinking about his solution, and it would resonate with every single individual. I tried to explain the curse of knowledge and how to get over it to a man who approached me after a speech I gave on pitching. He had one of these apps that would sit on your mobile phone, which allows you in a talk, in an event, you know, at the end when you have a question and answer session, well, you would be able to use the app to answer questions, and you'd be able to use the app, ask questions, and you'd be able to ask questions throughout the talk. So say you've got a panel discussion, at the end you ask for Q&A and you ask to put up your hand. The app allows individuals to ask questions throughout the entire session and not just at the end of a Q&A. And there's no need to put up your hand and to stand up and draw attention to yourself. Now this man was struggling to explain to people just how good this product was. And I suggested to him that he had the curse of knowledge, and that what he needed to do was simplify the products down to fixing one problem and walk his audience through the personal experience of someone just like me. So I said, use me as an example. I do a lot of public speaking and I'm reasonably confident in front of other individuals. However, when it comes to an event and there's a Q&A session at the end, there's something around me which stops me from putting up my hand. It could be because my mind is in passive receipt mode and all I'm here for is to hear individuals, or it could be because I'm British and I don't want to take up other people's time, so I don't want to put up my hand and suggest that I have a question that's so important that everyone else must listen to me, which is a bit ironic given that I give lots of speeches. But nonetheless, I feel shy at the end, and I just don't feel like I can stand up and put my hand up and ask a question. I suggested that he use me as an example of an individual who's otherwise very confident and full of questions but doesn't want to ask them because they don't want to draw attention to themselves at the end of an event. Whereas something like an app which sits on a mobile phone would allow me to get engaged. And if someone as confident as me isn't getting engaged, think about all the other people in the audience that aren't getting engaged with a Q&A session. As soon as he used that approach, a personal experience, people got the product and were happy to thereafter hear all about how much time it saved, how much money saved, how much the data could be collected and done with fancy things with, and the audience, his audience, his customers got the product. So in summary, ladies and gentlemen, do not think that we don't all suffer from the curse of knowledge. We do. But if you're a founder, you're likely to suffer from the curse of knowledge more than other individuals. It's our job, if we are to try and persuade people, to recognise what the understanding and knowledge of our audience is first, and then think about how we can position our solution so that it speaks to them directly. Spend time addressing this. If need be, find a six-year-old. It doesn't need to be a six-year-old. It could be a seven-year-old. It could be an eight-year-old. Don't go too young, because you're not likely to get anything out of a child. But find somebody that you has no knowledge of what you're talking about and see if you can explain it. And if you can explain it, then you're much more likely to get funded and you're much more likely to get deals and sell your solution. After all, ladies and gentlemen, knowledge itself is not a curse. The curse is when we assume others have the same knowledge of us. That is the curse of knowledge.
Thanks for listening to my podcast. I produce these for free. And one of the most natural things for all people to want to do is to give back after they've received something. You can give back by simply sharing, reviewing, rating, or giving feedback on this podcast. You can also get notifications of future podcasts by subscribing to my email list on pitch-school.com or by joining my Facebook group, #AndrewTollington.